That can be any of these groups. So in the Veda consideration, it's whether they're agnostic or completely against. So agnostic means that they accept, the Vedic version. They accept, the religious process, but they may not have much of an interest in God themselves. You know, in other words, God's the one that just gives you benefits, and that's all the more that they're interested. Right, so you get the karma benefit or the jnana benefit, liberation. And you'll see a lot of people that, nowadays is that because the religious processes are basically more of what the public and all that have, there's a strong, even though they may be theistic in the way of that they accept the religious aspect, but the actual religion itself has a lot of just what is the acceptable social norms among their particular group or community, right? Because it's more about what's good for the social structure, the economics, which is the focal point. But at the same time, as they may believe in God and try to do some regulation of their life. So that's why you see is the best situated within the Manamoya are going to be those who follow the Vedic culture, right? Who follow Varnashram. Then those who don't follow Varnashram, then even though they may have some faith in God, they follow some religious practices, but the general amount of how they apply it and everything will just be their own social understanding. Like that. But within that platform of Pranamoya, you can also have those people who aren't theistic at all. And so their only interest is that if people work together as a community, then there's more facility for everyone, and that's their actual motive. Right? So they're committed to their social philosophy because of the material benefits they'll get, which are then used for sense gratification. And then in Anamoy, that there also is going to be atheistic, but they're not moralistic. So you can say is that Anamoy means atheistic and moralistic, and atheistic and amoral. Then Pranamoy, they'll be atheistic but moral. Then Manamoy is theistic and moral. So the morals are based on theism rather than just social construct. But their understanding of God may not be very developed. Basically, God's just an order supplier, So therefore, anywhere from theistic to agnostic, but the point is theistic, they accept the scriptures, they follow the rules that are coming down from religion. And Vijnanamoy, then they're going to be also, again, have generally that aspect of agnosticism, that they follow the theistic process given in the scriptures. But they're interested in liberation, not in a relationship with God. They just want to get out of the trouble of the material world. So your average, person in general society, then generally is, if you ask them about religion, then they'll be theistic and they'll have some belief in God and the importance of the religious process. But in their general dealings, their general lifestyle, their economics, their recreation, all these other things, then it will all be Pranamoy. Because you see most religious leaders, these world religions, then they themselves are following Dharma or the but their Upadharma, the lower level of Dharma, meaning just be nice, be good, don't kill each other. Does that make sense?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
There's one more question from Görkem Matici. Okay, she will ask her question.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering about the role of karma or mercy of Guru or God himself in the process of changing our consciousness.
She means the changing of consciousness then if we're just talking about on the material platform, you put in the material effort, and then gradually it changes, generally over lifetimes. If you want, but for spiritual change in consciousness, that without the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that's not going to happen. Because we have the gross and subtle body, but they're made out of matter. So that's all we're working with. So unless there is the introduction of the spiritual potency, the chit potency, then the material won't be, carry that transcendental element. Like materialists may study the Bhagavad Gita from a materialist, and so the words of Gita are there, but the spiritual potency won't be there. So then one must hear from the parampara, then that spiritual potency is there. Then by hearing, that will purify the heart, that will change the consciousness. Otherwise, if you're trying to change the consciousness without the spiritual path, then by following the rules and regulations as given in the Vedas, then gradually you can change. But it takes lifetime. As Krishna says in the Gita, it's the slow path.
While
devotional service is the quick path. That word?
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Hare Krishna.
So one more question is there from Okan Prabhu. He is on the way, so he just sent the question. He said that polluted consciousness, does it mean the conditioned spirit, a soul?
Means the living entity is conscious, but the living entity is always pure.
The last part I couldn't catch, Maharaj.
Okay. The Bhagavatam explains that the soul is, brilliant like the sun. It's always liberated. It's never actually under the material energy. But the living entity identifying with the material nature, therefore that's polluted consciousness. So they're covered by the gross and subtle body. Does that work, or there's some more detail to this question?
Yes, it works. Thank you, Maharaj.
So it means there's any more, or that's it, you're good?
Yes, Maharaj.
He's okay. Okay. So next question?
No more question there, I think.
No more questions?
No more questions.
Okay. So now, in this process, when we're talking about consciousness, we have three features of the consciousness. And we have, so consciousness known as Chaitanya. Right? So you have Pramana Chaitanya, which means, then you have Vikara, I think Vikara Chaitanya.
Is it Vikriti?
Vikriti? Yeah, okay. And then we have Pramitri Chaitanya, right? So Pramana Chaitanya means the ability to perceive something, right? The, what do you call it? Vaikarika? No, that's the ego. Vritti, those are the things. Well, we'll just right now call it vikara. Vikara meaning, change or that. Vikara means then what you're perceiving and how, what you're perceiving itself. Right? So pramana means that you can see something, then the vritti, Vikara, Chaitanya is what you are actually perceiving. And then pramitri means your impression on what you're seeing, right? So, Pramana Chaitanya, you can say is, oh, but I see what, you see everything. No, you only see what you want to see, right? So you have a certain amount of potency of what you can actually, the field of action that you can actually perceive, right? So we can see, you know, colors, we can see movement, we can see to a particular distance or closeness, right? But we, you know, we can't, that's the general, the means, in other words, what, according to the particular species you're in, what you can perceive. You know, like so many certain animals, they, you know, these forms of life, they can't see colors or they can't see movement. You know, just like you see so many animals, if there's danger, their defense is they stop moving. Because if they don't move, the other animals can't see them. Like when the cat's moving around, it doesn't move, it can't see it. They can smell it, but they can't see it. So it's only when they move, then they can tell where it is. You know, so the pramitri is the ability, is what you're actually able to see, right? Then the vikara chaitanya is what you actually do see, right? According to your values, you'll see certain things. You know, it's just like there's a, yeah. So just like, let's say we have an apartment of a bachelor, right? Now, you walk into his apartment, there's empty pizza boxes on the sofa, on the coffee table. You know, there's shoes everywhere. There's junk everywhere. You see it. He doesn't see it. I say pizza box because they're not necessarily empty. There might still be one or two pieces of pizza left in there, even though they've ordered, you know, that's from 3 days ago, right? So they don't see it. They have the ability, pramana chaitanya, to see it, but because of the vikara, they're not able to see it because they don't value it. So the only pizza box they'll see is the one in the spot where they actually sit. So once they've moved that aside, they've sat down on the couch and put their feet up on the coffee table, then now they don't see the rest of it, right? Does that make sense? So now we move on to pramitri chaitanya. So your values, right? So now the other person that walks into the house, then they value cleanliness. So they look at it and go, this place is a mess. But for the bachelor, mess is fine. So when you point out, wow, what a mess. And he'll look around and go, what mess? What are you talking about? You know, what's wrong? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, because of our impression that being messy is bad and clean is good, therefore we're going to go about cleaning up. Thank you. That's, of course, if you have an established relationship with the person. If you don't, then you'll probably just turn around and walk out. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's the... It's a fisherman's friends. They get up your nose and they make you sneeze.
Bu da fisherman's friend, yani burnunuza doğru gelip hapşırtıyor sizi.
Ayrıca, I think the second one is Vishaya Chaitanya.
Vishaya, okay, Vishaya, that's the name. Yeah, because you have the Vikritis, you have this, that, so I always get Vishaya, okay, yes.
İkinci,
yeah, because that means like the material form. Vishaya Chaitanya. Okay, does that make sense? In other words, Pramana Chaitanya is what you actually have the potential to see. Vishaya Chaitanya is actually what you do see. And Pramitri Chaitanya is your impression of what you see and therefore what you do, right? Just like, let's say, in Vishaya Chaitanya, as you were saying, the bachelor does not see the pizza box unless he gets hungry. Then, because he values, you know, I mean, hunger is the important thing to address for him, and pizza is the, how you say, the established, recommended way to take care of that particular anxiety, then he'll check the boxes around him if there's any pieces left in, right? He'll look, there's nothing there, okay, and then he's got to do something. Over here, looks, there's a piece here and there, then he'll check it out. If it's not too dry, too hard, it hasn't gone funky, you know, or, you know, it hasn't smelled bad, you know, it passes his his basic value. Then he has to look around for the phone and in the cracks of the sofa until he finds the phone so he can call the pizza guy and get a new pizza. That make sense? Okay. So that's the principle of what we're working with, right? The example works as a local example there, or it's just an amusing example?
No, it's not so amazing.
Sorry?
It's there.
Okay, yeah. So it's there. It's not just. I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, it's there, yeah. Right? I mean, in other words, if you have, pizza places, Domino's or whatever those are, then you have this situation. Right. Yes. Okay. So now let's look at the mechanics, how this works, right? Because you have the mind, you have the intelligence, you have the false ego, right? Right. So three different features, you can technically say, of the mind, right? So in other words, the mind takes care of all this. It governs all this, but they each have their own separate, duties. So basically, if we want to get down to, just a simple aspect, the mind accepts and rejects things. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything more than that. That's the principle of the mind. So the principal feature of intelligence is telling the difference between things and the commonality between things. Right? And the ego then is your identity.
Sorry, your voice was interrupted, Maharaj. Ego is just the last.
And so the ego is your identity, right? It means in a field of action, how do you identify yourself? How do you see yourself in that field? Just like if you're in a car. So if you're behind the driver's wheel, then you're going to identify as the driver. And so then you're going to, move the wheel, push on the pedals on the floor, move the gear shift, that's your job. But now let's say you're sitting in the back seat. So you don't identify as the driver, but you may identify as the person controlling the driver. So you tell them, go here, go there. Why don't you do this? Why did you do that? You're so stupid. You're a bad driver. All these things. Yeah. So in English, we call that the backseat driver. It means they're not driving, but they got a million things to say about how you're driving and how you should drive better. Right. So you can't be a driver if you're sitting in the back seat, and you can't be a backseat driver if you're sitting in the driver's seat. So that's the function of the ego. Where in the field you are, therefore what's your identity, therefore what you do. Okay? So now, then in the mind, you have two main features. You have what's called the manas, and you have what's called the citta. Right? So manas is the aspect of the mind that is connecting with the senses, and information is either going out or coming in through the senses. Right? So in other words, it's the gateway by which information is coming in from the senses or going out to the senses. Right? The citta means you're taking the aspect. So means in the. And then in citta, then you have the aspect of the consciousness being involved in the way of the values, the way of the values, the way of the, let's say, the impressions, let's say, the take of the impressions, mm-hmm. The mind and what you value in it, what's the impression of something, that'll be the citta. Like yesterday we were talking about the abstract and the concrete. So information is general information that comes in, that's abstract. What's important to you, what you act on, that's concrete. So in other words, the manas is dealing with the abstract elements, the citta is dealing with the concrete, right? Then in the intelligence, it has some features also. So then its features then you see is that ability to actually understand something, grasp something, or to misunderstand it. Let's see. And then I think analysis of things, then memory, and sleep. So in other words, sleep is a function of intelligence. Like, intelligent people get enough sleep. Right? Because if you don't get enough sleep, the intelligence doesn't work very good. But you don't have to worry, because most jobs you get nowadays, you don't need any brains. So, it works fine. You can party all night and still go to work. Right? But if you want to understand spiritual life, that means you need brains. That means you need to go to sleep. So that's why we go to bed early and get up early. Right? Then in the ego, then you're going to have the three modes of nature. So you're going to have ego. There's three kinds of ego: Tejasa, Tamasa, and Vaikarika.
What was the first one, Maharaj?
Tejasa.
Tejasa, Rajasa?
No, Tejasa is Rajas, uh-huh. Tamasa is ignorance, and Vaikarika is goodness.
Vaikarika.
Right? So depends. So your ego is going to be made up of some combination of the modes. So someone in goodness will identify with performing their duties, with detachment and all that, knowledge, being peaceful, all these different things. Then passion means that they're active to get facility and gain facility and enjoy sense gratification and enjoy sense gratification. In mode of ignorance, then they can't actually understand things as they are. So generally what's right looks wrong, what's wrong looks right. And, it's a mess, right? Okay. Now we have all the different features that we're dealing with. Okay, so now let's take, in the mechanics of this, we can divide it up into five sections. So the first section will be information coming in. That will be the manas. The second stage, that's going to be the citta, where it sees which information that comes in we value or not. The third stage will be using the intelligence and to reanalyze our options. The fourth stage, then now our options, we're going to then see that in identity, our ego, right? And then whatever decisions made from that fourth stage, then that's then applied by the manas through the senses, okay? So now, in the first stage, information is coming in from the manas, from the senses, through the manas. Yeah. So now, according to the individual, what is their, what their conditioning is, they have a particular field of activities they can perceive. Like an architect will, if you show him a room, he'll look at the structure of it and the aesthetics and all that, right? An engineer will look at, the strengths and this and the beams and how it's constructed and whether it's, strong or not or this or that. The electrician's going to look at how electricity moves through, where you put lights and this and that, where you put the switches, where you put the plugs. The interior decorator will look where to put the furniture, the curtains, the colors, rugs, all that kind of stuff. And the kids will look at it, where's the best place to stand to play baseball? Or does cricket work better for you?
Football.
Football, okay. Yeah. So in other words, the furniture is just in the way. Yeah, so then they just bring the football and play and run around and yell, scream, and the mother's yelling at them to go back upstairs or go outside in the yard, like that. Right? And then the husband, after he comes back from all day at work, he just looks for the chair to slouch in to relax and recover from the day. Does that make sense? So that first stage is information's going to be coming in. And then you're going to, according to your nature or your consciousness, your values, then you're going to choose what things you notice. A huge amount of information comes in at every moment. But the mind cannot deal with more than one thing at a time. So then it has to reduce it down to one thing. Right? So now, how is it going to decide what one thing to bring it down to? It's going to be what you value. What you don't value is just, you know, information. Okay? So that's going to come from the citta in that second stage, that valuing of it, it's going to look into the memory from the intelligence. So in other words, the citta is going to be taking information from the manas that is bringing from the senses, and then comparing that to from the memory, what is of value to you? What's the past experience? What's that? Is it something you like, don't like, need to address, don't need to address? Right? So just like, let's say, we're cooking. So much information is coming in through the senses, what's going on in the kitchen. And we've gone to pick up the pot. But the pot is hot, and we're not using a cloth. So then that sensation of heat, then that's coming in from the manas through the senses, from the fingers, then the citta will look into the memory, and the memory says, last time the fingers felt like this, it was not good. So we let go of the pot, right? But we need to pick up the pot, right? So now we're going to analyze what to do. So all the options, then we reduce it down to, we have to pick up the pot. What are the options to pick up the pot? You know, using shoes don't work good. You know, gloves, you know, that are kitchen gloves work nice. Claws work nice. Teeth do not work nice. Okay, so therefore we see we've rejected the shoes and the teeth. And we then, our options are the cloth or the glove. The cloth is easier, but may or may not be as effective if you are not careful, right? The glove is more effective. But you have to work harder to, you know, pick it up. Now we'll go over, now these are options. We'll go over to the ego. So we're a lazy guy. So we're going to choose the cloth, right? Or we're a more efficient person. That's how we identify. I'm going to use the glove. In fact, I'm going to use two gloves. But it's a big pot, two gloves, that's more sure. Or I might look at it, yeah, I'm this young, cool, you know, dude. So therefore, you know, putting on those gloves, that's for grandmothers. So I wouldn't be caught dead, you know, wearing one of those gloves. So I'm going to use a cloth. Grandmother is thinking, been there, done that. You know, youth is wasted on the young. So she knows the glove is the right way to go, right? So you're going to see, depending upon who you are, then you'll identify. And then the fifth stage is now the manas will engage the senses and you'll use whatever. No? Or we may be that we identify as the, you know, the punk teenager, and so then we think, I don't do anything in the kitchen, and, you know, like that, so you yell out, for it, so wailing over, and she should do something about it, and then you walk out of the kitchen. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we see here is information comes in, right? Stage one, stage two, decide which of that information we're going to look at. Third stage, then the intelligence reduces it down to a particular category so you can see what's going on. Once you've found your category, now it can expand it. What are the options? Right? If you can't categorize it, you can't deal with it. That's why people with more experience, more knowledge, they can categorize a wider range of things, therefore they can deal with a wider range of things, right? And so therefore then they'll analyze it, and then they'll then it will go to, as we mentioned, then to the ego. What are your options? What would you do in that situation? And then there's going to be your application of that, you know, once you've made your decision, right? So now in this, that once you do something, that gives you an experience. So that goes into the memory as the impression, right? So according to the impression, that's how you're going to view things, right? So the impression may be you have a good, you know, means a proper understanding of it, or you might have an improper understanding of it. So that's the importance of knowledge, that we know what's the proper way to understand something. And that knowledge is gained from proper sources, right? So then when we start associating with you know, those in actual knowledge, with the devotees, now our perception of things is going to be according to that. So therefore we categorize and expand and analyze things based on the scriptures. Does that make sense? So then it's going to be, is your perception therefore going to be just what's good for the senses? Is it going to be good, which were good for social and economic development? Is it going to be for religious? Is it going to be for liberation? Or it's going to be for devotion, right? So now your ego is going to define what you choose. So if you identify as a materialist, you're going to choose the material option. If you choose, if you identify as a yogi, then you're going to pick that option. We disappeared?
Yes.
No one's home?
We just couldn't get the last sentence after the materialist option.
Okay. Then if you identify as a jnani, then you're interested in liberation. So you're going to see how to get liberation out of a particular situation rather than how you're going to get sense gratification. Right? Then if you identify as a devotee, then you're going to look, how does this serve Krishna? Does that make sense? So we see here that in this, the essential, the crucial point to look at in this whole process is the identity. Because what you do depends on your identity, right? So if I identify as a materialist, I will do material things. I identify as a devotee, I will do devotional things. So material identity means material endeavor, means material results, means material experience. And if you have the material experience, then that's how you're going to analyze and look at your any next situation. So, therefore, a materialist will continue to be a materialist, and a devotee will continue to be a devotee. So you change the consciousness to, I'm servant of Krishna, then you change the whole point of how you view things, how you look at things, what you do. Does that make sense? So you're starting at much of these things, you're starting at the end, just like we see is that you want to start connecting things to Krishna, give the result to Krishna, right? Then you can see is that, then you can start to look at, you know, the technique that you use and what knowledge you have. But first you have to start with just what's the result, what's for. Right? So by identifying as a devotee,
we didn't hear any of that.
Then you perform activities as a devotee. So the other one started. Can you hear now?
We can hear you, about the become very.
Try again.
Okay, well, that's probably the internet. Now any better?
Little better, yes.
Internet. Let me try shifting over to the Wi-Fi. Is any better?
Very good.
Okay. Yeah, because the company keeps going up and down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the company's coming back up, but we're seeing that, but it's not switched over yet. So, okay. So,
yep.
Okay. So then, as you identify, that's what you do. So if you identify as a devotee, you'll do devotional things. So that's why the devotee tries to give up all upadis or false identities. You know, as Prabhupada says, I'm not a Westerner, I'm not an Indian, I'm not old or young or man or woman, I'm just servant of the servant of the servant, right? So that's why it's very important that all that means we work with the body, because we have to understand the soul is not the body, because the soul is a spiritual spark. But the body is made out of the material elements, controlled by the particular modes. So the body is the body. It means we're not the body, but the body is the body. So therefore you have to deal with the body according to what it is. It doesn't mean you identify with it. Like, I don't have to identify with the car to drive a car. I can know I am different from the car. I am not the car, right? So you don't have to, it means to work with something, you have to know who you are and what you're working with. But you don't have to identify with what you're working with. You just have to know what you're working with. And knowing what you're working with means you know what is capable of doing, what it's supposed to be doing, in what situations, like this, right? Like you want to go to the office, you use the car. You want to shorten the grass on your lawn, you use the lawnmower.
What is lawn?
Lawn. Grass, you know?
Huh.
Well, maybe you don't have those things. Old city, it's all stone. Okay. Okay, let us say you want to make toast, you use a toaster. You want to sweep the floor, you use a broom. The toaster will not clean your floor. The broom will not toast your bread. So that's intelligent, being able to tell the difference, right? If we can't tell the difference, we'll say that something's wrong with us. We're crazy, we're stupid, we're, you know, an idiot, something. So therefore, one knows what one's body is, what one's mind, intelligence, you know, and so therefore, then you use it accordingly, but as a devotee for Krishna. So saying, I'm not the body, so therefore I can do anything I want with the body, that's the stupidest saying. I'm not this car, so now that I'm not the car, now the car can fly, or I can use it as a boat, or, you know, I can use it as a steamroller, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, one identifies as a devotee and then knows who one's is and then therefore acts. Right? And one does, then one engages oneself the best one can in Krishna service. So the idea is that we change the identity. We change the identity from material to spiritual. We change the activities from material to spiritual. Senses remain the same. Mind is the same. Intelligence is the same. But now how we engage them, the effects we get, now that will adjust. So you can't change the nature. You can improve or purify the nature, refine the nature. You know, like Pygmalion. You don't know Pygmalion?
No.
My Fair Lady. No? Okay.
Yes. It's a cartoon character, yes?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends. Maybe it's the one about where there were two gentlemen, and one was saying there's nature, and then the other one was saying there's nurture. So one is saying someone has some nature, you can't change that. The other one says, no, it's by association and training, and that's what happens. So then who said it's nature, that he says, all right, if you say it's by association, you should be able to take any person and change them into something else. Hello?
Marge, we didn't get any of that.
So what do we have? Okay. Okay. So Wi-Fi is on. Is that going? Is it changing? No. Okay, it must be the Wi-Fi is bad.
Now we can hear you.
Now you can hear. Yeah, I think it's just as the company goes in and out, then it gets better or worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now... So then the one who said nature told the one who said nurture, okay, if you say it's just by association and training, you should be able to take any person and make them into something else. All right? So then he says, and the other man says, yes. So they go to the window. They look down in the street. They look down out the window, look down in the street, and there's some really kind of rough and ready lady down there. And so then they say, okay, make her into a cultured person. Right? So then the one other person then gets that lady and tries to make her into a cultured person. Right? So you can refine, but the point is she's a lady, she'll still be, instead of being a rough lady, she'll be a refined lady. No, you're not going to change her into a koala or something, right? Really makes sense. You can only do that with Australians. Okay, so are there any questions on this?
One question is there.
Okay.
So, does the personality come from the bird? The children in like material consciousness, can they have a different personality later on? Thank you.
No, it's the same personality. It's just a matter of what state of consciousness they're in, how purified that nature is. Does that make sense? So let's just take for example, someone, let's say, is, you know, a manager. So they can be, they can either, you know, according to their ability, they'll have a certain amount of what they can do in management. Someone can do something very small, someone very big. So that you're not going to change. They can develop what they're working at, but if they're small businessmen, they'll remain a small businessman. If they're multinational, that's what they do. Yeah. Then you're going to have the character. So then, like, say, like Duryodhana, bad character. Yudhishthira, good character. So by association and training, you can purify the character so that they go from Duryodhana's position to Yudhishthira's. But that they're managers, that's not going to change. Arjuna had that idea that he's a Kshatriya, so much trouble, I'll become a Brahmin, just go to the forest. But then Krishna said, you're a fool. You'll still be a Kshatriya in the forest. You'll still fight for what's right. You'll still, you know, stop any disturbances. You're just going to do Kshatriya stuff in the forest instead of Kshatriya stuff in the kingdom. So in other words, the character can improve, can become purified, but the nature is not going to change. Does that make sense?
So for those who have like a good character or have a good nature, is it easier for them to progress in the in life? And is there anything like a bad nature?
Means for devotees, good means it's connected to Krishna. Bad means it's not connected to Krishna, right? Then, or if you're talking on the material platform, then depends on what which of the four platforms you're looking at. But basically, it means if you're following scriptures, that's good, and if you're not following scriptures, that's bad. Right? Or if you're just looking at it from the from just the practical, you know, how you say the what works or doesn't work, then what is working, then that's good, and what's not working is bad. So in other words, what gets the results to please Krishna, that's good. And what doesn't get the results to please Krishna is bad. So children need to be trained in what to do, what not to do, how to value, how to see, you know, all those things. So that's why they have parents, that's why they have teachers, you know, friends, relatives, to help them figure out what to do and what. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
There is one more question from Ipek Mateji.
Okay.
We said one of the roles of the intelligence is to analyze. At a given time, almost infinitely, many things are coming from the senses. So how can the mind start to analyze among these infinite things?
What you value is what you analyze. Right. So what you value, that's what you're going to choose from. Unlimited options, but which ones you value, that's the ones you'll look at. Right? It's just like, let us say you have a dog. Right? Okay. Now this dog, I hold out a biscuit. Right? He's going to come over and eat the biscuit. Now let us say I hold out an apple, right? Unpeeled. No?
No, I couldn't take the last word. You said you gave an apple?
You show an unpeeled apple to a dog, you know, peeling the peel, the outside of the apple, and then you cut that off generally when you want to eat it. So you don't cut it off, you leave it as it is. The dog will sniff it and then walk away. And let's say I have a wrench and I show that to the dog.
What does wrench mean?
You know, what you use to tighten bolts and things like that. Or you can take something else. I take a kitchen spoon. Then the dog may look at it, he may smell it, may not, and he'll go away. So what's his value? How is he judging all these things? Right? It's based on food. Does that make sense? Right? So that means so many options are there, but he'll only look at it according to food. So therefore, then, for ourselves, so much information is coming in, but those things that are mean something to us, that are important to us, those are the ones that we're going to address. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. It makes sense. My question was also about... So we have an infinite, we have infinitely many things coming from the mind, but we reduce down them to a finite number of things. So if there are an infinite number of things, how do we even start to categorize and analyze?
Let us say, you're going to go somewhere. And, you know, where you're going and what you're going to do is very specific. So before you go out, you're going to get dressed. So then you're going to look in your closet. So you're going to look at everything in the closet, or you're going to look at those things that are specific that could match what you're going to do. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, let's say you want to go out jogging. Are you going to look at your high heels? Are you going to look at your ballet slippers?
Is it about ballet? Like this?
Yes, ballet. What the girls wear, those shoes with the flat fronts that they can stand on the end of their toes?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. No, you're going to look at your running shoes. Right? And so therefore, whatever the clothes are, you're going to then look for those shoes that match the clothes you're going to wear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But in the situation of shoes, I already have a finite number of shoes. So like I have like 10. So it's really easy to skim all of them. But
yes,
from
but
the senses, there are maybe thousands.
So the point is that even you have, you know, whatever her name was, you know, Mrs. Marcus, and she had 3,000 pairs of shoes. Still, she knows every shoe that's there. Let's say you go to your window and you look out the window. What are you going to look at? Right? If you're bored, you're going to look for something that moves. You know, you're just in a dreamy state, you might look at, you know, the sunset or the birds flying or something like that, right? You're waiting for something from Amazon, you're going to see if the truck came. No? In other words, we're just showing that mechanical line that's coming in, but it's because of your value right now that you're choosing what field, part of the field you're going to look at. Like, let's say you're sitting here right now and you get thirsty. So are you going to go look in the closet? Or are you going to look on your bookshelf? Or are you going to look under your bed? Or are you going to go to the kitchen and look in the kitchen? Right? Just like if you're looking for clothes, you don't go to the kitchen, you go to the closet. No? So according to your values, you're going to look in a particular area, and then you're going to look for what matches your values. And then if something new comes up, then you're going to, you know, go through that same process and analyze it, see what it is, and see if what that is and what how that fits into your life. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Very good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, Nehem Mataji has a question. And so her question is...
You need one of these.
Yes, fisherman friend. Our emotions, or when our anartha nivritti, the unwanted qualities come up, which stage is this? Is it the fifth stage? Hare Krishna.
In Shraddha Prema. In Shraddha Prema. Or are you talking about what we just talked about now?
No, she's asking for the present presentation of the five stages.
Hare Krishna. That's just, you have, either it's been some external stimuli and because of your value, you've looked for that, or because of your value, then you go to look in that place. Right? Because you have to understand all these things are working at once. Right? It's not that it's just plodding through these, you know, five stages, but all five stages are functioning at one time. we study them separately so that you can understand what you're dealing with, but they all go together. Yeah. So something coming up in the mind that is there from previous the memories, and so therefore then we is that of value, and so therefore then if it's important then you start to act on them or not. So that's the point of anartha nibriti, is giving up those false identities. Does that make sense? And we identify as a devotee. So a devotee doesn't have anarthas. Devotee is, you know, always committed to serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, you engage in the activities recommended, you know, by Guru Sutra and Shastra. And then from performing those activities, the heart gets purified. So then there's less disturbance from these unwanted things, right? So doubts are there, so we clear the doubt, right? Because doubt is one of the aspects of intelligence. And so now we try to clear that doubt from proper apprehension, you know, by hearing from authority. Means, you know, it's coming from guru, sadhu, shastra, like this, right? So then we apply that in our life. And then we move forward. Misgiving means something we're attached to. Means attached to something that's not useful, or the nature of the attachment's not useful. Yeah. So then, even though we know what's the proper thing, we cannot necessarily do it. You know, just like, let's say, people who smoke cigarettes. They all know it's bad for you and that it can kill you, right? But they, due to misgiving, they just ignore the logic. Does that make sense? Yeah. So those things, you try to take whatever attachments we have, connect them to Krishna by either engaging them according to recommendation or avoiding them according to recommendation. And then by doing that to please Krishna, then Krishna, then he will start to remove these from the heart. And so in this way, then through submissive inquiry and through practice of devotional service to please Krishna under authority, then we see is that the anartha nibriti is accomplished. That makes sense? Okay, very good. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Okan Prabhu has a question. So association is very important to create new impressions in our memory and as a result to change our values, right?
Yes. Association means you're associating with people who are engaged in devotional service that are more advanced than you, you know, in some aspect. Doesn't have to be all aspects, but some aspect that you're inspired to be in their association. And so then by seeing their example, seeing how they're comfortable, how they're happy, they're satisfied, they're determined, they're focused, then you become inspired to, how you say, try to cultivate those values. Does that make sense? So
yes.
Association is something that is there from the very beginning of devotional service. It's there in the middle, it's there at the end, right? So okay. Great ear. Okay, so then so even when we come to the transcendental position, then the Lord's associates, then we're always with them. And so then we're always inspired by their devotion to Krishna And we want to take part in that and, you know, help with that. Does that make sense? So in all cases, that if you want to spiritually advance, you associate with people who are interested in and engaged in spiritual life. And if you're a materialist, then you associate with materialists. Like you see, businessmen will associate with businessmen because they get inspired in economics. Musicians hang out with musicians. You know, like this. So depending upon what's your value, that's who you associate. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, very good.
Didem Mateci also has a question. When we mention about the qualities of the people whom we are confronting with, we are giving the example of a bee and also a fly. So do we evaluate this according to our values and how we can change this? The sound is not coming.
Muted.
Now we're unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I didn't quite catch what you...
So the qualities we see... do we evaluate the qualities that we see in others according to our own values? And... Do we evaluate it as in the example of seeing like a bee or being like a fly? And how we can change this thing?
I'm not sure I catch the element of a bee or a fly and what that has to do with the association of Vaishnavas. I didn't quite catch the point.
Bees pick up the nectar from the flowers.
So oh, I see that way. Yes. Okay, yes, point is that if you see good qualities in others, then you can develop those. If you only see bad qualities, then you'll get those, right? So if one is a negative person and one only sees negative qualities, then one will develop negative qualities. And if one sees good qualities, then one will cultivate and develop those, right? So that's then by good association, we start to see in the positive way, like the bee. And if we have bad association, then we start to see things like the fly. So does that make sense?
Yes.
So B is good. Something more? Or?
So if we see the bad qualities, does it mean that we can change this position or this quality by a good association? Yet is it right that I understand? Just we can overcome this. Propensity or this tendency just by good association, or do we need to condition ourselves to be able to see in a more positive way?
That means the point is that there's no other than devotional service, you don't need a separate technique to cultivate a good quality. Is just like with in devotional service, you'll associate with devotees, you'll see so many things, you'll be experiencing so many things. So in those situations, you try to see what's, you know, appropriate and avoid what's not appropriate. In other words, it's not a separate cultivation. In other words, you learn cooking by being in the kitchen and cooking. You don't need to go into the living room and put your feet up on the coffee table, and that's going to somehow or another make you a great cook. Does that make sense? So within devotional service, just applying devotional service, you'll come across all the opportunity necessary to try to cultivate the good devotional character. Right? So in other words, we've heard that bad qualities aren't so important in devotional service. Therefore, that's why we're trying to be aware of it and try to apply ourselves with the proper qualities. Does that make sense? So we're using the intelligence, and we're also engaging that the mind values what is being recommended. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Very good.
We have one more question, maybe a last question, Maharaj.
Okay.
Shiri Subhurpini Mataji wants to ask a question.
Okay.
You can ask directly, Mataji, because we have less time.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I want to ask that what is the role of honesty in self-evaluation? Because sometimes
honesty.
Honesty, yes.
You said honesty?
Honesty.
Okay.
Yeah. Truthfulness. Okay. Because when we, if we cannot deceive ourselves about our conflicts or shortcomings, it sometimes causes some destruction enables our motivation to progress. So what is the role of honesty? I want to ask. Thank you very much.
Okay. So first we have to look at what's the definition of honesty or truthfulness. So honesty just means being aware of the facts. Truth means how the facts connect to Krishna. So it's not about being open, it's about being aware of where your position is, what you need to do to advance in devotional service. And seeing how do these things connect to Krishna? How can I be engaged in Krishna's service? Right? So it's not about the social context of truth and honesty in which you just talk everything to everybody and all that. That's just called gossip. That's why then Rupa Goswami gives Guhyam Akadi Prichati, that you have these confidential discussions with those persons that can actually help you in that field. Of course, everyone wants to hear all the garbage, but how many people can actually help you with the garbage? Does that make sense? So the modern kind of social definition of honesty and truth is not actually useful. Just like, let's say we take journalists. They always say, we're just looking for the truth. But truth isn't what people want to know. They want to know garbage. So you have to find those elements that the people want to hear about so that the company you work for, the magazine or that, makes money so that they pay you. So truth means, What is the latest thing people are thinking or talking about? We want that so that we stay relevant in the media field so that we still make money. Does that make sense? So, or let's say someone is not working. It's not about the money. Say they're a social justice worker. Then it's about their concept of morality. Not necessarily Krishna's concept, because it's important to them. That's why then it's valuable, right? So again, it's not actually truth that's valuable for Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So, and honesty, unless it's something that will enhance your development of Krishna consciousness or someone else's or the relationship between the devotees or that, then what's the point of the honesty? Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
So in other words, everything that we do, we always look at it from the context of how does it cultivate Krishna consciousness? How does it cultivate the relationships? Right? Otherwise, then it's just facts and the facts that you perceive and that you think are important, but it doesn't mean they're important to someone else. Or they may be facts, but they have nothing to do with what will cultivate the relationship. Does that make sense? So in other words, since it's about developing relationships, it's about what are the elements that are in the context of developing a relationship with Krishna and the devotees that are important, not some other random facts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, let's say you have a nice friend. Is there any advantage to tell them you think their nose is too big or too small?
And
how does that enhance the relationship? So unless you have a relationship that's based on, now let's say your relationship with is with a plastic surgeon. Now there you can discuss whether a nose is too big or too small. Or with everybody else, what are they going to do about a nose? So therefore, why even discuss it? What's the point? Will the most change by you saying that?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know, let's say someone has a friend whose nose is too big. You tell them their nose is too big. Now, what can you do about it? Nothing. What does that do for the relationship? Nothing. So then, but you're being honest. You're being truthful. So that's the thing, is that honesty and truthfulness in the modern political correct environment is totally overrated.
Mm.
It's only for business that they get into it. It's only for finding out dirt for economics or politics. Mm. So truth means understanding what brings you closer to Krishna, you know, and what takes you far away, to be able to distinguish between matter and spirit. That's truth. Right? So what will help someone advance? That's truth. What is causing them to not advance? And discussing that, if there's an interest, that's truth. Truth doesn't mean I want to know. Truth means how does it relate to Krishna? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you should be honest about where you are situated in devotional service. Therefore, then you can figure out how to move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.